The markets folded on Friday, yet corn put in a technically good five-day performance. Is an outside up week enough to keep the bulls happy? Or is the economic crush from the outside markets too powerful a force? We'll ask that and many other questions today on Commodity Week.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Top Third's Mark Gold. Our panelists today are Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Mike Georgi of Allendale from Mahomet, Illinois, and Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons right here in Champaign County.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's open the discussion with this question. The Federal Reserve pumped some $200 billion of liquidity into the market this week, and still Friday was a bad day in New York and in Chicago. Mike Georgi, are there larger forces at work now that could top the commodity markets?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, your gold market's still strong. We got over $1,000 here today. Crude's still holding strong. The dollar's still weak. And, you know, I think some of it is liquidity. That's the trouble with Bear Stearns. And the market, the Dow came back here today. So I think it's still there's still some strength in it.
Pete Manhart?
Well, I think these outside markets are going to push and shove us a lot. But I think long term, we still have huge demand for the grains. But when there's no money around to pay bills, the infrastructure's hurt a lot everywhere, including all this outside stuff, but also the ag infrastructure.
And Matt Blaisdell.
Yeah, I also think that the Fed's meets is coming this week, and I think that's probably going to be some support in the market, talking about maybe up to a one-point cut in the interest rate. So that could come into position next this coming week and lead some support for the markets.
Matt, let's follow up with corn. Maybe you can tell me a little bit about the technical side of that marketplace and what happened for the week. It was an outside up week, but a bad day on Friday. The numbers look like this on the week in Chicago. March contract of $5.72 top, a low at 516.5. Finished 12 cents higher in that nearby contract at 545.5. December futures lost 5.5 cents on the week at 553.75. How did the week proceed?
It was a pretty toppy week. One thing I've been watching is the 9-day moving average on the nearby corn contract. It's been really following that and has some really downward support right there, that 9-day moving average, and it held again today.
And what do you see in those technical sides?
Well, we made new contract highs, a double top this week, but in the week we had a 50-cent range from 540 to 590. We hung in there fairly well on the close, so I don't think it's over for the corn, but I think these outside forces could push us back to this week's lows before going again.
Friday morning, Informa released its numbers, 87.5 million acres. That's down from its previous estimate, down from what USDA sort of said so far. We won't really know what they have to say until we get to end of March, but they've said 90 million, I guess, at one point. Are you happy with that number? Does that seem to work for you? Does that make things work as we get into the harvest season later this fall?
Well, I think both numbers were actually bullish. If the market was down today, both numbers were bullish because you know, they lowered the corn numbers. They raised the bean number, but not too much. So actually, if you look at the numbers they come out with, it was should be bullish to both markets.
And those numbers, again, were 87.5 million acres for the corn number and 71.3 million acres. Let's see. Is that right? 71.3 for their soybean number. Are you happy with that set of numbers?
It was about in the middle of all kind of companies' estimates, but I think if you look at under 70 million on beans, it's extremely bullish. If you look at under 80, I believe it's 86 on corn, it's extremely bullish. They were a little above those, but a lot lower on corn, a lot higher on beans than the last USDA. So I think it's just kind of in the middle of where people expected things.
Matt, over the past week, we've been having discussions on the closing market report. We had a discussion with your boss a week and a half ago over at our all-day Ag Outlook meeting about the infrastructure, the finances of it, how it was holding up, how it was able to manage. Are things starting to show cracks in the infrastructure? I know this is one of the reasons that the basis-only contracts have showed up from large and small elevators across the countryside.
I know larger commercials out there in the countryside are only going basis-only, especially for new crop beans and in some cases even on the corn side. The Andersons, we still do have both flat and HTA for new crop corn and beans, but we were lucky enough to, refinance some of our money flows to Chicago before, you know, we had this huge bump up in the markets in January. But I know that if these markets continue to go up like that, it's going to be industry-wide. We're going to probably be basis only.
Yeah, and just so that we understand this, Pete, it's really not a fact that – it's a fact that they run out of money. It's not that, that the – and I'm not sure if that's the right way to say it because they've got an offsetting position in there and – eventually, they will come back to zero on the margin call.
They don't have any cash flow, and you need cash flow. And if your margin calls go up and the bank won't loan you the money, even though you're solvent and have good books and are worth it, that's where the problem comes in. So it's a matter of not having any cash. You've got all this money laid out there. You've got stock to pay for it, but that's all it is. You can't do it until the stuff gets sold down the road.
I suppose I'm guessing that this is where on in the large commercial side, and I don't know whether they're financing themselves or they have outside financing along the way, but they've got to be looking at this and thinking, well, how healthy is my bank at that point? More than anything else, knowing full well that they can finance the position as long as they can get the cash flow.
Well, I think we saw that today with the Bear Stearns thing. Is they're one of the oldest companies around. At one time, we're one of the largest, and they just had to have cash and couldn't get it. So other companies will come in and buy them up and put cash in there. But in the small world of ag, the smaller world of ag, is there enough cash out there for somebody to come in and do that where needed?
Okay, across the board, let's see what you think about marketing new crop corn. If you can actually get a bid of some sort and make the sale, would you do it this week?
Well, no, I don't think we're recommending making cash sales. I mean, you can make some cash sales. The prices are good, but I think the other side is you have to buy options to protect the downside.
I think we've got a lot of people that are 30 to 40% sold already. I would hold off now and wait until we get into some weather markets. I would protect the downside with puts.
I'm very bullish going into this report at the end of March. I say if you have nothing on the book, there's no problem getting, you know, 20, 30% on the books. But if you're already to that, those levels, I just don't see any need to put any more contracts on the books at this time.
Apparently much harder to make the soybean sale. Would you do that?
On new crop? Probably so. I think we're probably going to plant the acres. I wouldn't be surprised if this, what Informer came out with the 71.3, I wouldn't be surprised if that's 73 by the time we get to the March, if not more.
I would be selling more cash if I could. If I can't, I would be protecting it with puts. I think by this March 31st report, I want to have at least half of my crop covered, either with cash or puts, and maybe even more with puts.
I'd have to agree. The bean market, Brazil's crop was increased. Our acreages are increased. China's pulling some of their soil inventories out for domestic use. So I'd definitely watch the downside on the beans.
Speaking of that, and because, Matt, you talked about some moving averages, soybeans November contract settled the week below an uptrend line, and it's 50-day moving average. Bad sign for that?
I think it technically is a pretty bad close for this week. Like I said, it's really no new news to pump the soybean oil or soybean complex up this week, and then technically it's fundamentally going on a downward turn.
Soybean complex this week, March beans a $14.18 high on the week, the low at $13.28. They finished a penny lower at $13.40. November beans at $12.79, finished off 32.5 cents from last week. Wheat futures like this, the March contract at $12.98 top, a low at $10.74. Settlement price up 67.5 cents despite heavy losses on Friday in the March contract at $11.60. July futures at $10.82.5. They were up 14. What was the trade like in Chicago on Friday? That looked like a gangbuster day.
Well, we'd made all-time highs in the July at 1270, a couple days earlier. So backing off $1.20 from it, I mean, we were down almost the 90 limit a lot of the day and only closed down 50. And again, there's no really reason for it to be up there except for fund buying.
What are your expectations for farmers as you hear from region to region? And I don't know, maybe you'll know something about the Eastern Corn Belt, Matt, because the Andersons covers that wide an area, and you might have heard some from the Western Corn Belt as well. But do you hear regionally that there is very much difference in the way producers are thinking about their acreage mix at this time? And are they still changing that up? And maybe we can start over here with Mike and work our way across.
Well, I think in the Central Corn Belt, Illinois, Iowa, some of the Nebraska areas, you know, we're still looking at more corn because it pencils out better. Some of the areas where the ground's not as good, people are staying with their regular rotations. Both crops are good. They've got their stuff bought and they're staying with their regular rotations.
I think if you go from maybe even up to the southern half of Illinois, the southern half, you're going to see a lot more beans. You already saw a lot more wheat below Interstate 70. Wheat's all going to have beans behind it. I think in central Illinois and northern, you're going to have a little bit more beans, but not a lot, just for rotation and the high expense of input costs for corn. But I do see beans making a little bit of a comeback everywhere.
And I'm just going to echo what everyone else said. I do see in your traditional heavy corn growing areas, they're probably, if they got the fertilizer locked in, they're going to continue with the corn. But once you get to the southern Illinois, southern Indiana, Ohio, more beans. Actually, talked to one of our Frito-Lay growers who's out in Nebraska, a pretty big operation. He's growing beans for the first time in 8 years. And that's irrigated land out there. So
let's talk more about what they'll really put on those ground. Farmers are often moved by cheap, okay, is the way I'm going to put it. But if there are seed corn companies that have a lot of seed corn production from last year, and I think that's probably the case, and they're willing to move some of that seed corn this year at pretty heavy cost to them, don't you think that they'll convince producers to put that in the ground this year as opposed to put beans in the ground? Does anybody agree with that?
I think
it's a question more than anything else.
I think farmers have pretty well already decided by how much anhydrous they've got on, how much of everything they've got spread already. The ones that don't have it done might go to a little more beans, but aren't really, especially where they haven't been able to get the anhydrous, are maybe not going to put as much corn out there. But the expense of the anhydrous, all of that has got a lot of farmers thinking, $12 beans, 50 bushel, that's 600 cash. And how much less expenses do I have by doing that? And how much less work is it than planting corn? So I think it's almost too late right now to hold a carrot out. I think right now the weather planting will be a bigger factor than that seed corn that maybe be available a little cheaper.
Yeah, but have they sold those beans?
A lot haven't.
More have not?
I would say more have not.
Yep.
Well, the question then is, let's stay with the beans and then talk about the world market just a bit. Because if they haven't sold those beans, and maybe they're just not, we've got the Brazilian and Argentine numbers are coming onto the marketplace. Their exports are going to pick up. Can you attribute India of what happened this past week to that? And how much more downside might there be in this marketplace through the next month and a half or 2 months, and maybe then our bean numbers start to come on and we see a fairly large number of acres in the United States? What's the possibility that if they haven't sold beans that they're planting a crop that's not going to reap nearly that much benefit?
Easily. I think you could take $2 out of this market pretty easily and still historically be good values, but it's not going to pencil to if you plant the corn.
We took over $2 out since the highs we made, 10 days ago. Yeah. We've already taken $2 out, and we could take 2 to 3 more real easily. So if you're growing beans, you better either have them protected with puts or have sold. I want to be halfway sold, period.
I agree.
Mike?
I agree. I mean, I don't think you can switch back and forth in this day. I mean, even if the corn seed corn guys are going to give you a benefit, you're having trouble getting starter fertilizer. You don't have your anhydrous bought yet. You may not be able to get it. So I don't think switching at the last minute is going to be that easy. And, a lot of people have already talked about planting more beans. So the possibility of having an excess and going down a couple bucks is very realistic.
You're protecting with put. Well, go on. You had something to
say. I just had one comment about the fertilizer. Just this week, tons of places have been reporting that they need to lock in 09 anhydrous now and get it paid within a week or so, cash up front.
And what
so it could be even worse next year for input costs.
Yeah, what are you hearing on input costs?
$780 to $800 if you pay cash now for next year's anhydrous.
Anybody else heard different on anhydrous cost?
Just rumors. You know, we've heard the $1,000 number, and we've heard the $700 to $600 number. So, I mean, it's just a rumor like anything else.
Now, I've actually had clients that called, were approached by their company saying, you need to do this week, period.
In just a couple of minutes, we'll talk with Mark Gold. He's with Top Third. Our guests on Commodity Week today are Mike Georgie of Allendale and Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons and Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Be sure to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Illinois residents enjoyed one of the nicest periods of weather in the past 2 months, the second week of March. We did have a rather chilly start to the week with high temperatures only in the 20s and 30s, but temperatures warmed a little more each day, and by Thursday, highs were in the upper 50s and low 60s with partly sunny skies. With that cold start, temperatures this week averaged 2 to 3 degrees below normal across the state. Precipitation was well below normal this week, which is not a bad thing considering how wet the last 6 weeks have been. The only precipitation this week were some scattered light rain showers and some light sleet early in the week. Showers spread into southern Illinois on Thursday as another weather system headed our way. A low-pressure system moving from the Central Plains to the Ohio Valley this weekend will bring an end to this period of quiet weather. Portions of southern and central Illinois could pick up more than a half inch of rain by the time the system moves off to the east on Sunday. Another low moving out of the Southern Plains on Monday will bring more rain to the southern half of the state the first half of next week. It will turn a little cooler behind both the weekend and the midweek weather systems, but overall temperatures next week should be near normal. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists today on Commodity Week are Mike Georgie of Allendale out of Mahomet, Illinois, Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons in Champaign County, and Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Here are some of the numbers, or the rest of the numbers, from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange Group, the CME Group. They look like this. April feeder cattle had a settlement price this week of $99.30. They were down $1.30 for the week. The April live cattle, a high of $90.75, a low at $89.10, a settlement price at $90.50, up 5 cents from last week. April lean hogs at $58.90 on the high, the low at $54.70, and a settlement price there at $55.02.5, down $2.82.5. Our guest today on Commodity Week is Mark Gold of Top Third at www.topthird.com. Now, the company's stated goal is to help North American farmers become better agricultural marketers by using a time-tested program of cash sales along with option strategies. Mark is a former 20-year member of the Chicago Board of Trade, where he was a pit trader and a floor broker. Mark, thanks for being with us today.
Always a pleasure. Good to be here.
Tell me how you'd go about and how you are going about protecting farmers and making them better marketers with cash sales and options in these kind of marketing conditions?
Well, certainly when we see this kind of volatility here and the problems that the commercial grain elevators have had meeting the margin calls and the problems that the banks have had working with these commercials, we don't want any of our clients to be in marginable positions. We don't want them selling futures. We don't want them selling a call to pay for a put. We just want them to buy options, which means that they never get a margin call. Whatever they spend for that option is what they're risking. And in this environment, I believe it's the only way to go. I can't imagine if the bank doesn't want the risk of a margin call, the elevator doesn't want the risk of a margin call, I can't imagine why the American farmer would want to take that risk. So we believe in using options. Now, the cash sales, what's been interesting, as we've come out of the environment now where these commercials always used to give us cash bids, and now they're backing off on these cash bids because of the margin call issue, in my opinion, the buying the option becomes the only viable technique for the American farmer to help manage this risk out here if you don't want to incur a margin call, which I certainly would suggest that you wouldn't want the margin call. So in this environment, I believe that's what you need to do. If you can't make the cash sales, you've got to buy the put options.
And are you buying an at-the-money put option?
No. You know, what I think people get confused about in these options is they expect them to be the be-all and end-all. And an option isn't perfect. So, for example, today we're looking at buying, you know, November $11 puts. We're looking at buying December $5 corn puts. Yes, the corn puts are 75 cents out of the money. The beans are $2 out of the money. But the price we're spending for these options, 30 cents for the corn, 50, 60 cents for the beans, are still reasonable. And I think what the client has to ask themselves is, listen, if you buy a $5 corn put for 30 cents, giving you a futures price of a floor of 470, you're kind of turning your nose up at that. Well, how many of you have ever sold 470 corn in your life, and now you're not willing to protect it out here? And I think so many producers are caught up in this new mentality that they've been reading about, that we're in this new paradigm in agriculture that prices can't go lower. Well, I believe that's nonsense. We haven't suspended the laws of economics in these markets. And what is happening at incredibly high prices? We are losing demand. What else are we seeing? We're seeing countries like Australia, China, Brazil, Russia, Canada, wherever they can grow grain, they are going to be, in the U.S., they are going to be growing more grain. And when you have bigger production and less demand, ultimately that will lead to lower prices. And if we add into that mix the potential problem with these funds and the meltdown in the financial world, if these funds need to sell off commodity positions to pay for stock market losses, there's a train wreck potential that's out there that could make those $5 puts worth a fortune, that could make those $11 bean puts worth a fortune.
Well, Mark, I've got another question for you on the demand side. I've heard it said that Washington only cares about one E word, and that's not exports, it's ethanol. What if really what's happening is just a rebalancing of the books at this time, and eventually the price will go back down, but our export markets just won't be nearly as large as they were before?
You know, I think that's some potential out here, but we're also seeing...
I mean, well, the question really is, I know that's the potential, but how is that okay to domestically be consuming for livestock and ethanol production yourself and not having as big of an export market, or is there a problem with it?
Well, I believe that we need to sustain exports out here, but I believe at some point we're going to make a decision whether or not we want to use corn as a fuel source, whether it's practical or not. You know, that's an issue we could argue about for the next 2 weeks, or whether we want to feed livestock and feed people around the world. And I believe ultimately these mandates are way too high on the ethanol. I believe if the government wants to get serious about, you know, backing off of crude oil demand out here, which I think they should be doing, there are much better ways to do it necessarily than with the ethanol. The ethanol has its place, but it's not the end-all to be-all. So I believe at some point we're going to have to cut back on these ethanol mandates, not only from an economic standpoint of the marketplace, but from a humanitarian standpoint. What are we going to do? Are we going to let people starve around the world because we want to drive, you know, these guys in Chicago want to drive these big Lexus SUVs and the Escalades into town and have them sit in the traffic? I think it's nonsense. We need to take a serious look at why we're wasting so much energy in this country and put an end to it. And we've got to figure out a way not to be so beholden to the OPEC nations, because let's face it, every time we buy a gallon of gas, we are putting money in the pockets of people that want to kill us, and we need to stop it and to manage this risk and to do it with something in addition to ethanol but something serious.
Back to the managing the risk and following up on your options strategy. Mm-hmm. Are you taking a basis only contract at that point too, or are you just leaving it open?
You know, I believe you probably, if you can make the cash sales, I'd be seriously looking at locking in basis here. I believe that what's happened in this grain industry, these costs have gone through the roof for these folks as well because of the margin call issues.
Let me make sure. If you said if you cannot, you mean you cannot make the cash sale, you'd go ahead and lock the basis in?
Either way, I would be locking in basis
here. That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah, either way, I would be locking in basis here because, you know, a 50, 70-cent corn basis is lousy, but can it go to a dollar? Can a $1.20 bean basis, which is lousy, go to $2? We don't know. And I believe that the commercials will find it in their best interest to make these basis margins as wide as they can. And at this point, I'm more concerned about the basis getting much bigger in order to pay for some of these losses than I am watching it get tighter. Now, certainly if there's a drought, they're going to be forced to pay up for grain again. But keep in mind, one of the problems with this basis and these margin calls isn't the margin call per se. Most of these commercials can handle the margin calls. Where the problem comes in is when the producer can't deliver those contracts, like when we have the spring freeze in the wheat market, when we have droughts in certain parts of the country, and the grain doesn't come in. Now the commercial is forced to roll those hedges, pay the margin calls for another year, and when these prices go up like they have been and they can't get the grain in to offset those other sides of the trades, that's where these guys get into trouble. And I believe ultimately what we're going to see in the grain industry, and see it soon, is a situation where the elevator will give you a cash bid, but only if you've got a legitimate RA or CRC policy and the elevator takes a beneficial interest in that insurance. So they know one way or another they either get the cash value or they get the grain.
We're out of time, so final word from you on anything?
Well, I just want to just implore folks to be very careful about putting in any marginal positions in these markets. If we have a drought, the pain will be enormous.
Mark, we appreciate you being with us.
Thanks very much.
Mark Gold is with Top Third and joining us from his office. You can visit his website at www.topthird.com. A final word from our guest in studio, Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons.
Just want to remind everybody that the Andersons Stills does have new crop cash bids.
And Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities?
What goes up has to come down sometime. We could still see new highs and everything, but we could also back up a lot. We need to protect those with puts.
Mike Georgie of Allendale.
I'd have to agree. Don't stand there like a deer in a headlight thinking this thing's going to go up forever. So protect your bottom line.
And that wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can access this Commodity Week program and analysis throughout the week on demand on your computer. Our site on the World Wide Web is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find Commodity Week, weekly analysis, cash grain reports, weather, and feature interviews with agricultural newsmakers. Have a good week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.